Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Good morning. New Jersey officials are demanding an investigation into the NYPD's surveillance of Muslims in Newark. You've been hearing about this on the news all week. Joining us now to explain why exactly New Jersey lawmakers like Senator Menendez, Congressman Pascrell, Newark Mayor Booker, and Governor Christie are calling for an investigation is WNYC senior reporter Bob Henley. We'll also be joined in a minute by former New Jersey Governor Richard Cody, who in 2005 issued executive orders that may or may not have allowed the NYPD to conduct these covert operations. Bob, this news has been coming out over the course of the week that the NYPD has been literally spying on students, Muslims in the city of Newark. Bring us up to date. How did this come to be? What did this investigation tell us?
The Associated Press for quite a while has been doing a lot of reporting and investigations into the NYPD's post 9/11 counterterrorism program, which has some overseas outposts and then also here what appears to be a pretty significant domestic presence outside of New York City. The NYPD, was alleged in the AP reporting, and they did produce, to back up their claim, a 60-page internal dossier compiled by the NYPD Intelligence Division that was basically made up of real estate shots of places, mosques in Newark, places, commercial establishments, and cultural centers that Muslim Newarkers frequented. And basically, the implication was that they were just basically doing an analysis of a demographic unit. That's what they were doing. They're just like an anthropologist is mapping it. In the process, there's been some jurisdictional issues that have been raised because evidently Mayor Cory Booker, who was mayor at the time, this happened back in 2007, was not apprised of this. What's important to understand is that at the time, the person in charge of the Newark Police Department was Gary McCarthy, who was a longtime veteran of the NYPD, and he is now the police commissioner in Chicago. He said in the Wall Street Journal through a spokesman that he was aware of it. So now we're coming up with is the fundamental question of, should the civilian political leadership, at this point Mayor Booker, been apprised of what was municipal intelligence gathering by the NYPD and perhaps by the Newark Police?
We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment, but right now, former Governor Richard Cody is joining us. Thanks for coming on with us.
My pleasure, Andrew and Bob.
Now, Governor Cody, the Star-Ledger reported today that you issued a set of executive orders in July of 2005.
That's correct.
What did those orders allow the NYPD to do in New Jersey?
Well, the headline's a little misleading in terms of the spying. What we said in the executive order, that we give New York the authorization on the railroad right-of-ways and ferry terminals. This is in response to the London bombings. So we did that and nothing more. Anything in regard to espionage in colleges, mosques, had nothing to do with the executive order and would be in violation of that. So I'm going to protect the people of the state of New Jersey. I did what was right because the ferries and the railroads go in and out of New York and New Jersey. So we were going to work together to prevent any terrorism on the railroads or on the ferries.
In the Star-Ledger story today, they cite a, quote, high-ranking law enforcement source who said the executive orders represented a, quote, legal agreement that was used to open the door to NYPD conducting its surveillance. So essentially what they're saying is, okay, so you opened the door, everything was fair game.
No, absolutely, positively not. If you read it, strictly says railroad right-of-ways and ferry terminals and nothing more. Anything else, a violation.
And I think, Governor, to go back and remind people about that bombing, what was so disturbing, I would imagine, to people like yourself with this responsibility and law enforcement was this was a kind of breakthrough for the terrorists because they were able to simultaneously hit three subway stops and a double-decker bus on the surface, which really was an advance in their ability. So I guess you didn't want the state line, in essence, to get in the way of anticipating a terrorist act.
Hell no.
And Governor Cody, I mean, were you ever briefed? Was it ever suggested to you that this kind of spying surveillance might have gone further than rail and ferry lines?
Absolutely not in any way, shape, or form. It only dealt with the obvious spots that terrorists would hit, you know, like big buildings, like the railroads. And, you know, there's 2 miles in New Jersey from the airport down to the port, which has been labeled the two most dangerous miles in our country where terrorism would strike. So it's my job to do everything I can, whether it's in concert with NYPD or somebody else, to protect those spots.
Did you say to the NYPD at the time, okay, this, but nothing further?
No, there was no need for that, because the executive order is very direct, as I stated before.
Didn't it also, Governor, permit a reciprocity where New Jersey law enforcement was permitted to go through into New York? So it really integrated and wove together holistically the effort.
That's what you would want as a citizen, Bob.
Did you have any issues with their targeting specifically Muslims?
It all depends. If you targeted Muslims without any knowledge of terrorism activity, that's a violation of their civil rights. I would never allow that in a million years under any conditions.
So are you calling on the NYPD to do anything at this point, having learned?
I think we need to try to learn, Andrea, what they did and whether or not it was inappropriate and unlawful in terms of espionage.
Do you think it was?
I don't know. I don't know enough about it to say that.
What does this say to you about the sovereign rights of New Jersey?
I think what it says is that I understand that we must work with our brethren in New York on Homeland Security. That's the right thing to do, and work with the federal government on Homeland Security. Anything beyond that, is not in regards to terrorism, and I'm not going to condone racial profiling in any way, shape, or form.
Governor, do you think that the elected official who leads Newark should have been apprised by his own police department of this activity?
You know, you would think that the director would have spoken to the mayor, but I don't know. That's between the two of them. I do know that the New York Police Department has said that they were given Newark COP. So it seems to me they covered, you know, their backside, shall we say.
Governor, does this make you think that the NYPD is out of control, these reports that have come out this week?
I don't know that. Again, I can relate a story to you where Mayor Bloomberg once had a conversation with me saying, and he said it in a very friendly way, and I like and respect him, by the way, that he was going to suggest that the NYPD be in charge if there is a terrorism attack on the tunnels or the bridges near New York, New Jersey. And I said, well, obviously I would oppose that. And he said, Governor, I understand that. And it was obviously never done.
All right. Governor Cody, I know that you have to leave, but thank you so much for calling in today.
Thanks,
this
Governor.
Was very enlightening. That is Governor Richard Cody, the former governor of New Jersey, talking to us about the recent revelations in the cross-border spying issue. Also here is WNYC senior reporter Bob Henley, who's been looking at this story. Now, Bob, just to sort of react to what Governor Cody said, where does this put New Jersey vis-a-vis the NYPD in terms of, you know, cooperation with cross-border counterterrorism activities?
Well, we have to talk about what really exists officially now in terms of cooperation that's on the books. We have something called the Federal Joint Terrorism Task Force that is composed of regional law enforcement, more than 100 NYPD detectives, and the equivalent number of FBI agents. What's interesting there is those NYPD detectives and all the local participants from municipal law enforcement are deputized as U.S. Marshals. That means this question of jurisdiction goes away. The problem here is the tension between the NYPD's counterterrorism intelligence unit with 1,000 officers that at times seems to be in friction with this existing federal effort. That goes back to a large degree to the feeling by the NYPD that the FBI messed up the investigation leading up to the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. So that's the setting this happens in.
Right. But, I mean, one could, argue. I mean, I think we all understand that the NYPD has now sort of developed this kind of global outreach. I think what is shocking is that they're not just sort of looking at terrorist activities in the Middle East that could threaten New York, but now they're looking at universities around the Northeast. They're looking at the state of New Jersey. What is next?
Well, I think that we spent 2 hours with the legal counsel for the NYPD and the city's corporation counsel specialist on this issue. They're saying that they are not doing any kind of covert operations that are illegal. They are merely gathering information that is available to the public online and being at public gatherings and not doing anything that violates anyone's constitutional rights. They also say that they, you know, it's important to understand from a historical perspective that this is not the first time that the NYPD has issues with intelligence gathering. We have to have the historical perspective here. I mean, folks need to check out Frank Donner's book, Practices, Protectors of Privilege, Red Squads, and Police Repression in Urban America. He traces that back from 1886, the Haymarket bombings in Chicago. Municipal police forces have been conducting intelligence. Here in New York City, it was immigrant Italians at the turn of the century. 1906. Had an anarchist squad that gave way to the bomb squad, the red squad, the special services unit. And what's important for people to understand is that...
But wait, Bob.
Let me just get this out. So they back in the 1960s, there was a major court case where the NYPD signed a consent decree called the Hanshu Agreement, which basically put under very strict strictures how they would go about collecting intelligence. That was slightly modified after 2001, but an issue is here is whether or not they're in violation of that now.
Right. Well, let's talk about that in just a moment. But just to sort of unpack what you were saying, I mean, there is this history of the NYPD setting up these special squads. Is there a history of their being involved in domestic spying in non-New York locations?
Well, what there is a sense here that after 9/11, they felt that they had been let down by the federal government. And so they thought like a belt and suspenders approach. They needed to have the federal approach and their own approach. Some of that included some innovative things by Ray Kelly, where individuals who spoke Urdu and Pashto and Arabic within the department were given promotions, and they did emphasize diversity. So the department now is just an array of people from all over the world. And so that was part of it. And then also he engaged the Muslim community. This question of mapping and demographically laying out where these communities are is, they believe, was just really proactive policing. Because what they'll say to you is, in the event that someone's involved with a terrorist movement and wants to get support, this is the community they're going to operate in. All they're doing is just merely mapping it. That in itself, they say, is not a violation of the Constitution.
Weren't they gathering license plates and tracking emails and, you know, putting people on watch lists? I mean, that's a little bit more than, you know, sort of a demographic data. They're not just downloading census data.
And as a matter of fact, what's happening is the lawyers who are the keepers of the Hanshu Agreement from the plaintiff side, who represented the political activists who were under surveillance in the 60s, are back in federal court now. Trying to get a sense of the scale of this operation. I might also add that the New York City Civil Liberties Union has been in ongoing litigation about this exact same unit that goes back to the Republican National Convention. These issues have been percolating for a while.
Now, you were called over to One Police Plaza yesterday, right?
Right.
I mean, along with some other reporters.
Right, right.
Give us the scene. What was that like, and what were you told?
Well, we were in the executive headquarters area where they would monitor a breaking event. And basically, we met with the top NYPD lawyers and the Corporation Counsel. That's the lawyer for the city. They're specialists who handle these issues. And they took us through various court decisions and the history of Hanshu as they saw it, to say that they were operating within the law and complying with this special consent decree, Hanshu, named for one of the plaintiffs in the case. They also were citing a Supreme Court case, Laird versus Tatum. That was a case back in 1972 where the U.S. Supreme Court dismissed for lack of rightness a claim in which the plaintiff accused the U.S. Army of allegedly unlawful surveillance of lawful citizen political activity. In that case, they used to actually say that as long as they are passively collecting information and not using it, as we saw with the FBI and COINTELPRO, to send information to someone's employer, for instance, about their activities. As long as they're not doing anything that's malevolent with it, they're perfectly free to collect that information. The civil libertarians I spoke with yesterday have a totally different view of this.
All right, well, let's talk about that in a second. But just, you know, when you met with the NYPD, I mean, you know, were you drinking tea out of China cups? Was it a happy meeting?
Well, they're actually, you could have coffee or tea. I think that one of the things that we're dealing with here is, you know, it's very easy now, 10 years after 9/11, to look back at what was going on in a critical eye and lose some of the sense of emergency and anxiety that existed. One of the issues that's emerged out of this is that it's very clear with the Joint Terrorism Task Force where is the line of accountability, because in this country, the FBI and CIA ultimately are accountable to the House and the Senate Select Committees on Intelligence. The question is, is there any equivalent for the NYPD's domestic and global surveillance and intelligence gathering? Is there a committee in the City Council?
Really.
There is not. And so that's where we are right now, is the whole question of civilian oversight of municipal police intelligence.
Yeah, and what did they say about that when you met with them? I mean, what did they say? I mean, what are the boundaries? You know, could we find out that they're, you know, next in Oklahoma?
Well, we asked that point. We actually asked the question, is there any black letter law that you know of that requires you provide notice to another jurisdiction outside of your jurisdiction when you're collecting intelligence? And they said no. There's a courtesy, and they said in the case of Newark that they did afford Newark that courtesy, and that appears to be true outside of the political leadership. But they also basically said that there's no limitation to the collection of this data, again, as long as they don't use it in a way like we saw with COINTELPRO, where the FBI used this information to make mischief and, in many cases, destroy people's lives.
Where does this go from here now? New Jersey, I mean, we heard from Governor Cody. Mayor Booker is upset. Looks like his police commissioner knew something that he didn't know. Lots of anger in New Jersey. Obviously, civil libertarian groups are getting involved. What's next?
Well, one of the things is that there's certainly going to be there's already some 30 members of Congress calling for an investigation into the relationship between the NYPD and the Central Intelligence Agency. That came out of earlier reports from AP. This whole question of accountability, I think, is what we're going to play out here. 10 years after 9/11, the central question is, what is the role for the civilian political leadership in taking responsibility for the oversight of what is a growing local and state and regional and national security apparatus?
And that is a question I guess we're going to sort of be finding out the answer to. Finally, Bob, it has not been a great year for the NYPD in terms of its public image. I mean, first there was the flap about this Muslim film that had been shown to trainees. Now there is information that the NYPD is spying on college students, residents of Newark who are Muslim. Where is this going next with them?
Commissioner Kelly has presided over an unprecedented drop in violent crime. Homicides are down from some 2,000 to 500. It's a dramatic transformation. But one of the things that's starting to happen is we're seeing response times come up. And remember, the police department went from 41,000 down to 34,700 with 1,000 officers committed to counterterrorism. I think what's going to happen is we look to a new mayoralty coming in, and the question of what does the new NYPD look like post Commissioner Kelly and Bloomberg? Does it get back to basics like response time and begin to trust in a federal intelligence bureaucracy that, let's review their record? Osama bin Laden, not around. Anwar al-Awlaki, not around. So can the NYPD reconnoiter based on new information?
And I guess we will be tracking that story with WNYC senior reporter Bob Henley. Thanks so much, Bob,
Thanks,
for
Andy.
Joining us. When we come back, we'll talk about the end of money. What do you think about it? No more cash? You for it? Against it? We'll take your calls. I'll speak to an author about that right after this.